Hello, welcome to PFF Fantasy Football Podcast. I'm your host, Ian Harditz. Today, we continue our Fantasy Files series with a look at Travis Etienne and this more confusing Jackson Jaguars backfield by the day, seemingly. So thank you, as always, for tuning in. And as always, we will get right after it. Etienne, he should be the lead guy, but we're not positive. We're not positive because Urban Meyer is walking around and calling him slash to anybody that will listen. And it's also not this James Robinson show. As much as I wish I could write off Carlos Hyde, he is still a factor too. So that's what we're looking at in Jacksonville. I'm not going to try to even mention he who should not be named. The guy should not even be in the NFL right now. But unfortunately, he is also a potential pass near the goal line that we need to worry about. But today's main topic will be Travis Etienne because first round running backs, people, they get fed. Urban Meyer isn't your typical NFL coach. We're already seeing that. Maybe, he has a different idea for how to use his first round alleged RB. I'm just concerned though, because historically, again, first round running backs get fed. For every Philip Lindsay and James Robinson, there's dozens of more Darwin Thompsons or Justice Hills. And again, just looking at the list of the previous first down backs, I think we should have a pretty gaudy touch projection for ETN in year one. I mean, Clyde Edwards-Helaire, disappointed, had some injuries, still the PPR, RB22, 217 touches. Josh Jacobs, 262 touches, RB21. Barkley, 352 touches, RB1. Rashad Penny, busted, 94 touches, RB68. We had Sony Michel get 216 touches. Leonard Fournette at 304, RB10 finish. Christian McCaffrey, 197 touches, RB9 finish as a first-round rookie. I mean, RB9 on fewer than 200 touches. God. Receptions are such a cheat code. Ezekiel Elliott, RB2 on 354 touches. Todd Gurley, RB9 on 250 touches. Had Trent Richardson turn in an RB8 finish on 316 touches. Old, muscle hamster is now what they called him. Doug Martin, 368 touches, RB2 finish. We had some other busts. David Wilson, Mark Ingram, not getting completely fed. But generally, again, these first-round running backs make a lot of good things happen. Etienne, just in terms of what he can do as a personal, prospect, should be more than capable if he gets those touches. This is from our 2021 draft guide about Etienne, courtesy of the always fantastic Mike Renner. While it's a tad concerning that ETN's efficiency took a massive hit, Clemson's offensive line faltered this season after losing four stars to the NFL. What ETN did as a receiver likely turned some heads. He was a downfield passing weapon in the Clemson attack after being an afterthought in that regard early in his career. His 588 receiving yards were the most of any back in the country this year. His explosiveness and tackle breaking ability didn't go away. Rather, ETN only saw 1.8 yards before contact this season compared to 2.8 in 2019 and 3.8 in 2018. That was my concern with Etienne after last season, because he looked so explosive in 2019 and just even before in his career as well. I mean, I've talked in this podcast about being an Ohio State fan. I mean, Buckeyes got Clemson last year, but before that, and even in that game, man, every time Etienne touched the ball, I was just holding my breath. I mean, it seemed like this dude could create a big play out of thin air. And just, again, having that analysis where, yeah, he fell off a little bit last year, but that was more due to the offensive line. Having these yards before contact numbers proves that I'm willing to move forward, assuming maybe not that Etienne is the second coming of CJ2K or anything, but at a minimum, his status as the number two back. He went right before Najee, right? They were one after another as a consensus top two back in this class. I'm fine giving ETN that head nod. So overall explosiveness drop off, not nearly as big of a deal, I think, as we need to make it. The bigger issue is, what is this offense going to look like? Because again, Meyer's calling ETN slash. He showed off the ability to work as a wide receiver. There's one play in particular. I think it's against it's Georgia Tech or Boston College. I think it's Georgia Tech. Their uniforms are kind of similar. Give me a break, people. Etienne, that lined up out wide, runs a nice little sluggo, toasts the poor safety that was on him, makes the catch about 30 yards downfield. So Etienne can do it. It's just we've only seen flashes from slash. Only on 84 total snaps in 55 college games did Etienne line up in the slot or out wide. Yes, he did it more as a senior, but even then, we're not talking more in the snap or two or game, more weeks than not. So it's just taking a bit of a leap of faith to assume that he's going to be this full-time wide receiver. We had that, don't put too much stock in this, but we got Trevor Lawrence hanging out with DJ Chark, LaVisca Chenault, and Marvin Jones. Where was ETN? Probably hanging out with the running backs. I know Meyer wanted to get Kadarius Toney before settling for ETN. Again, though, asking ETN to all of a sudden from day one to play a position that he just hasn't played as more than a complimentary piece over the years, it's just asking a lot. So The big thing here we need to realize is that ETN has the pass down role in this offense. And that's what's ultimately most important in, you know, fantasy football. And, you know, as we've talked about in some of these podcasts, typically running backs, you know, just in terms of the total, the average fantasy points you get per target or rush, historically rush attempts are, you know, 2.7 rush attempts is worth about one target. So as long as ETN is getting a good chunk of rush attempts and most of the targets from this backfield, I think he's going to be just fine. And our PFF projections have a similar just kind of mindset on things. Overall, they have ETN getting 160 rush attempts, James Robinson 109.7, Carlos Hyde 59. The targets are ETN 55, Robinson 27.5, and Hyde 22. I kind of think if ETN is finishing under 200 rush attempts, we're going to see the targets more in the 70-80 range. We'll see. I mean, median projections, just know they're always on the low side of things. We don't, you know, make a habit of trying to project outlier performances, but ETN, we know he can catch. We know he can run. It's what Urban Meyer said, you know, when they originally used him out there. They're like, worst case, we have a great running back that is a better receiver than he was before. So I don't think, you know, necessarily getting him more involved out wide is bad. Let's just make sure they do it and don't take him off the field for, you know, prolonged stretches because of Robinson and or Hyde. So takes him to the rank. Travis Etienne is my personal RB19 at the moment. I'm higher on him the most. He's the RB27 over on Fantasy Football Calculator, RB22 on Underdog Fantasy. Again, he's getting the pass-friendly role. I think he can probably meet that. I mean, remember, Christian McCaffrey, Etienne's not quite going to have McCaffrey's pass-down role. McCaffrey was the RB9 as a rookie, not even having 200 touches. So Etienne doesn't even necessarily need to dominate this backfield's you know, total snap and touch count in order to be just an RB2. That's what he needs to be at his price. He's being priced as an RB2 and RB3. He has RB1 upside. At a minimum, I think he can certainly turn in a top 20 performance. Now, the artist formerly known as James RB1 son. I'm sorry, people, but I just can't get behind him. I did a study, again, using that one target equals about 2.7 rush attempts. And that told me from pure projected volume in 2021, we should be considering James Robinson in that RB 50 range, not in the late RB 20s where he's currently going. And he was my single biggest fade in my values fade article that published over at pff.com last week. Robinson can do it all, but people, before he got hurt last year, only Dalvin Cook and Derrick Henry had more touches than him. And it's almost comical to me that, you know, people worry about like Najee Harris and if can he make anything of all these touches. Look at that Jaguars offense last year. I mean, would any of us expected James Robinson, even with all those touches, to turn in those sort of numbers. Credit to him for doing so. He's a solid running back, but it's not just ETN coming. That hurts. Carlos Hyde is going to be involved, people. He scored 35 touchdowns in 21 games under Urban Meyer, and Urban Meyer did already come out after the draft, say Robinson and Hyde are a 1-2 punch, ETN more the pass down, third down guy. So volume's king. Robinson had all the volume last year. This year, it's not looking like he's going to have much of it at all. James Robinson falls into my RB40 range, and I just think he's usually gone by the time you know, he comes around on drafts. Hey, if he really falls, you know, late 30s or, you know, even the 40 range, that's fine. You can go for that. I don't hate getting him at that value point. We're one injury to ETN away from Robinson being a great get. Even Hyde, I mean, Robinson would step up a lot at that point. Just realize, though, this backfield, everything history tells us and everything about first round running backs tells us Travis Etienne should be the guy, and he should have one hell of a fantasy friendly role to get that done. Thank you, as always, for tuning in to PFF Fantasy Football Podcast. New episodes every single day. I'm about to go to a pool party, people. I cannot wait. Had my, you know, one of my college best friends' wedding yesterday. I am hurting a little bit, but, you know, we persevere and we find ways to talk about fantasy football, regardless of, you know, how the old head might be feeling. So, again, thank you all for tuning in. And until next time, take care, everybody.